You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, live from Sydney, Australia, actually. Please excuse my delay in signal. We are truly down under here for the pandemic film. Wrapping this up in the next month and a half, hopefully. So the next continent will be Africa. So that'll be it, and we'll be back in the home studio, and I'll be giving the airplanes a rest for a while. But you know, I wanted to get on live today. We have so much to cover. And just a quick update. Again, I'm in Sydney, Australia for the pandemic film. If you haven't gone already to my Instagram page, check out what we've been posting at the pandemic film. It is the second in sequel to the Pandemic Project documentary, which is the American version of our advice for the last year, survivors of the pandemic, as we move into the endemic portion of this once in 100 year event. And thank you so much to all my sponsors and supporters who have been with me in this journey, made it possible. And shout out, first of all, to Michael Silberg Family Wines. It's like family there, as well as La Casa del Camino. Those are some sponsors that have been with me through it all. And, you know, hey, guys, we're going to shift. We're going to make a hard turn. We've got Dr. Marty K. Casey, founder and specialist at Ungun Institute. Dr. Marty, how are you doing today?
Oh my goodness, I'm doing well, Monique. You look so good in the sunshine. I'm jealous.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I guess I brought the sunshine. According to some of my friends here, it's been raining a lot in Sydney. So I packed up some California sun and here. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for making yourself available this last minute. You know, Dr. Marty, if you guys don't know, haven't followed her career, she's a global activist who is thoughtful in people's intentions to ungun their trauma. And what a time to have you on. I think I couldn't think of a more perfect time to have you on. Why don't we go full screen and let Dr. Marty introduce herself, and we'll come back to double screen. How about that?
Well, I am Dr. Marty K. Casey, and as Monique just shared with you, I am a trauma specialist and advocate for mental health, good mental health, and I help individuals disarm trauma. I have actually created a process called Ungun. We work with the police department across the country as well as with schools, and we just travel all around the country. And now, of course, with platforms like this, we can reach people anywhere in the world, and it is definitely necessary. I am very excited about today's show, and I hope that I can actually share some tips and techniques on what it takes to really continue to tap into self-love, self-care, and self-discipline, so that when the time comes where you do need to disarm from trauma, that you are able to recall some of those tools and techniques to keep you and others safe. So thank you for having me.
I love that. No, thank you for being fully here for us. And you can hear all the exotic animals on a side note here. Really cool to wake up to. You don't hear this in LA. So yes, you know, you are, when we first met, ungunning people's trauma, I thought, wow, that's a really unique concept. And I guess, you know, it felt kind of like a niche brand that you have. Now it's finding that it's not just niche, it's necessary. There's another N word there. It's necessary. Mm-hmm. So let's just jump right into it, guys. I mean, the hot topic of the last week has been the slap heard and seen around the world by Will Smith. My show doesn't usually cover domestic issues, assault, things of that nature. But when Hollywood and small businesses and businesses in general kind of intersect, that's my show. Given my respective background and yours, you know, it's been interesting to see all the reactions around the world, the different reactions around the world. And I have my own, and I've posted, I've been verbal, gotten to some, you know, back and forth with people. And I think that's what we kind of tend to do. First of all, tell us what your first initial reaction was when you saw and heard about this incident, Dr. Marty.
Well, first of all, can I give a little bit of backstory? You know, I was just there with you in LA. We were doing the gifting suite and for the Oscars. Yeah. So I was very, very excited about this year's Oscars. I had to fly back home early so that I could start my program in some of the schools that Monday. So I only had an opportunity to tune in via television like millions of others. But as I was watching, and I heard the joke. From the moment that I heard the joke, I felt like, uh-oh, I know that Chris Rock and the Smiths have had a little bit of history before that I will just say was a little bit back and forth, a little bit of negative. So when he went with the joke, I was hoping that it landed well and it ended well, because sometimes a joke will start off one, you have it all the way to this or not, or really a good joke. And when it got to the end, you know, they're kind of panning back and forth with the camera angles. And when I saw Jada's face, before he even finished the joke, I knew it did not land on her in a good way. The body language shifted. Her face, she had, you know, one of those classic faces. She made a face of being like, oh, here we go again. Really? Like, this what you getting ready to, you know? And I knew then that it was probably going to be a conversation that would have to come afterwards. Well, within seconds, they also panned and they showed that Will Smith was laughing. Before I thought about what would happen between Chris and Jada, I instantly thought about what was going to happen at home with Will and Jada. I said, he's laughing.
With the follow-up.
And I said, this might be a little problem. I hope he wins tonight. And then they kind of forget about this little moment. Well, again, within seconds,
right,
he's walking up to the stage. And that's when we heard Chris say, uh-oh, here comes Richard. And then I said, oh, this must all be scripted. That's what I thought in the moment. Right. But when I saw him get ready to make a motion to hit him, it happened so fast, I actually thought he had punched him first versus a slap. I later found out it was a slap. But it's important that I share that, because even there's a difference in culture in slapping a man versus punching a man. See, when you punch a man in certain cultures, it's I'm standing up to you toe-to-toe, man-to-man. And if we go to blows right now, this is your opportunity. This is I'm starting this fight. But when you slap someone, in certain cultures, it comes across as if you already believe that they are weaker and beneath you. And I don't even have to fully knock you out, but I want you to understand I will deal with you if you continue. So when he smacked him, I said, oh, no, that's not good. That's because that's very, to me, it was a lot of other emotions that came up behind it. So when he turned around and he went back to his seat, and then they started bleeping out what was being said, I said, oh my goodness. At that point, I don't even know what happened at the Oscars, because my mind was on the trauma. And instantly just doing the work that I do, my mind was on disarming that trauma. Like, oh my goodness. I honestly thought about you, Monique. I need to call me, like, Will on that phone. I mean, I was where my heart was. So I wasn't shocked that the conversation have continued, because I say it all the time, trauma is transferable. It doesn't matter if you are near the trauma or eyewitnessing the trauma in person, or just as most of us did via television. When you see that type of offense take place, it does something to you emotionally, and it attaches. It's a trauma bond. So that trauma bond attached itself, and it instantly made us feel, some of us were angry, some of us were saddened, some of us were in shock, disappointed, you name it, every type of filter and feeling that could come up, it came up in all of us around the witness. This one who killed and absolutely had disregarded it, like, oh, what's next? No one could do that because that was such a foreign display of communication that we were not accustomed to seeing on national television. Mm-hmm. Now, when you add the fact that it was the Oscars and the most elite event in history of the United States, in our arts, in our art world, that even puts another spin on it. There's so many different things that we, as we peel back the onion, we can add to it. But I want to just really stick to the basics. So I want to share this before you ask your next question, Monique. One of the things that I've been saying to a lot of people all week long is that we live on a spectrum right now. And there's, if you will, there's like three. Here, let me show you. Actually, I can. First part. So you have self-defense in the middle. You have gun violence here, and then you have self-love all the way over. Okay. Yeah. If we just stop, breathe, and think, it will allow our minds to reset and basically land on the right decision, possibly of what's of our reaction. That's what I believe Will Smith did not do. He started in the yellow on the self-defense of taking up for his family, his wife, and specifically, but he moved more towards the red, towards gun violence, if you will. It became a very volatile act. Whereas when Chris Rock got smacked, he now is in the yellow on self-defense, and he had a choice. Rather than him moving to the red, he moved more to green. Now, he remembered who he was, he remembered where he was, and he also remembered the fact that if he struck back, this would turn into an altercation that would be completely out of order. So he had self-restraint. He was able to restrain that. That does not mean that he was not affected emotionally. It doesn't mean that his face wasn't hurt. It doesn't mean any of those things. We're guessing at all of that. But at the bottom, but in that moment, he was able to stop, breathe, and think. So before he made his next reaction. And that is, if we just simply do that one thing, and the reason that I created this with Ungun, I wanted to keep it simple, just like we were told when we were little, if you catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. We remember those three things. So if we can just remember those things forward, when emotionally our bodies are on fire, when you can feel the heat of the offense of what someone has done to you in that moment, stop, breathe, and think. And what are you thinking about? You need to think about self. Who are you? What do you have to lose? What do you have to gain by responding back in the same manner that someone just offended you? The beauty in what has happened with Chris Rock and not knowing all of the history, because there's so many things we may not know. There could have been something that just happened backstage that we didn't see and we haven't been privy to. So it's we have to be careful on making a judgment on what has actually happened here, because only those individuals involved really can tell you why they did what they did. That's why it starts in the yellow. Able to say to us, oh, what you don't know is that prior to that, they sent us saying this was going to be his joke, and I told them no, not to do that joke, and he did it anyway. We don't know. We have no clue.
We don't know
what is all there. So at the end of the day, if we can just remember our value, that's why it's important. When I come to the gifting suite, Monique, as Ungun, and I'm reminding all of these A-listers and producers and influencers of who they are, and their worth matters, and the work that they do matters. But make sure that you're self-caring. You have to take good care of yourself, because just because you're making the body do all of these things and you're coming up with all of this good body of work, it doesn't mean that mentally you're keeping up. It's unplug, right? Mm. Sometimes you have to unplug in order to build your energy back up, in order for you to stay connected to the whole rest of the world. That is so okay to do. It's so okay.
Beautiful. 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 And, you know, I actually want to speak
to that point where you said, remember who you are, because that's a greater conversation that I think needs to happen. And, you know, hey, am I glad that this happened? Of course not. But I'm glad that there's conversations coming out of it, because there's a lot of things that aren't being addressed. For instance, when you say, you know, remember who you are, stop and take a moment, take a breath and remember who you are. As a whole, as a collective, it, from my point of view, from where I sit, we are a very violent society. So I find hypocrisy in a lot of what people have been saying. And I'll tell you, growing up, when you hear the terms, don't let your mouth get your ass in trouble. You know, I can tell you how many times I heard that growing up. Sorry, guys, we've got all kinds of exotic animals. Just if you're tuning in, I'm in Sydney, Australia for the pandemic film. Got all kinds of beautiful creatures. Yes.
I love it.
It's awesome. Yes, it's out, we're in the jungle, guys. And we've got Skin View coming up next. We'll stick around for them. But right now we're with Dr. Marty. And I saw your note. Thank you, Sam. But, you know, growing up in a household where spankings were allowed, I find it pretty hypocritical people to have a problem with Will having a human moment when they spank their children. They put violence against children that their bodies aren't even fully developed. You know, their brains aren't even fully developed, and they beat their kids. So, you know, it's interesting. And they always say, he without sin has steam to stop and breathe and remember who we are. But if we do, we carry guns, we beat our kids, we spank our kids, we go and watch fights, we watch wrestling, we watch violent movies. So we're asking someone to do what we don't do. And that's the problem I have. I think it starts with being honest about who we really are. And who we are is a violent country. We're violent, and we're racist, and we're a lot of other things. But, you know, I think even to this morning, this afternoon with the mass shooting in Sacramento, and a shout out to everybody there and lots of love to them. I just turned the TV on and saw that before we came on the air. That kind of proves my point. So I have trouble with people not allowing Will Smith, who's had, by the way, 35 years of a stellar reputation in the industry. You think of any of us, if you follow him on Instagram and YouTube, he's lived out loud, you guys. He gave us so many beautiful films. And yes, you pay money, you invest in these celebrities, you want to turn your TV on and get away from the reality of the world and have a beautiful evening and watch them, you know, do what they do. But I think, where is the room for being a human? You know, because when you take on all these roles, you're taking on a lot of different things. This isn't an excuse. This is just the reality of it is. Method acting, you take it on. And I know you can speak on it because you're, you know, an activist. But why are we so disappointed in an action star making an accident like this?
Well, let me say this. I may disagree a little bit. I agree with a lot of it, but the part where I disagree is that I don't think it was an accident. I think that he did. If it was me, if I'm just on the outside looking in, I would say he is very human. He has the same emotional track that everyone else does. And so I don't think what he did so much may have been the ultimate problem, is where he did it, and that trauma bond was connected to so many in that moment. You, the person that came up behind you to accept their Oscar, their moment was ruined. The people that were in there watch, who chose to come to the event, that they were uncomfortable. They didn't know if a fight was about to break out. The producer of the show, first Black man producing the Oscars after all these years, his first moment ruined. I believe that in the humanness of why Will Smith did what he did, from what we can see, we don't know it all. But from what I can see, I don't think he did anything any less than what someone else would have done. I asked my husband, I said, what would you have done had that been me? And he says, you know, I probably would have did a Will Smith. He said, however, I wouldn't have done it in that moment. I would have called
him. That's my point, right? Right. He had the right intention and executed. But that's, I guess, what I'm saying. Yes, it is the Oscars, and people feel like they've invested in his career, and they watch his films, and they put, you know, good, hard earn money out there in the economy to support. So that's probably why the disappointment is felt a little bit wider and a little louder, because it was on a prestigious night in Oscars. But I guess what I'm asking for a greater point is, some people have been really silent about the insurrection, yet they have a lot to say about Will Smith's slap. And I just don't understand the hypocrisy. You, if you own a gun, you don't sign up for violence.
Now that you're part, okay, I agree. That part I agree with, Monique, because I said the same thing. I said, we're still talking about a slap. We haven't said this much about Russia and Ukraine. And that's a whole war that's going on. Amen. And there are people in America whose family is in both of those countries, you know? And so I'm like, are we really that, you know, that shallow of a race? Where sometimes we just get caught up in the drama. We're more caught up in the drama than we are the trauma. Now, we know trauma can't be out of the situation, but it's the drama that pulls us in.
Well, and you know, and this is why I love speaking to you, because we can kind of just be transparent about what it is. So now, a few other points that we're throwing against the wall here with Dr. Marty K. Casey from Ungun Institute. And yes, we're staying on the Will thing for a moment. This trans, and talk about a few other points and then tie this into business and why this is a problem. So additional to some of those things, I think some fans, some people have lost confidence in the validity of their, and share that the honesty piece in the relationship made it refreshing, although it may not be the lifestyle or the type of relationship or entanglement that a lot of us would enjoy. I enjoyed the honesty piece and the conversations they were willing to have out loud. Perhaps pulling that back in and becoming a little more private would help with what's going on. And maybe that's a buildup, right, that we're seeing. Also, you know, some people are feeling that they are owed a nice Oscars night because, you know, they've invested in as a fan for many years, and there's a war going on, and there's all kinds of things, pandemic, and they want to turn on, they've invested in these, and they want to just have a great night, and they're having Oscar parties and dressing up themselves. So that's another piece. Some don't like it because they think that, you know, just because you're an actor, you can't get away with this. So there's a group of people that are feeling like, no, he needs to be, you know, he needs to be punished. And so, you know, I feel like our society wants to be above violence, but it's really only the violence that you subscribe to that's okay, because all of us are okay with violence at some point, including self-defense. That's still violence. And I posted something recently.
You're going in and out a little bit, Monique, at this point. Can you repeat what you said you posted? Monique, we're having a little bit of difficulty hearing you at this time.
So struck, and I'm like, these are the only three people I know that have turned the cheek. Yeah, sure. Can you hear me? Sorry about that, guys. I'm in Sydney. Bear with us here for this technical moment. All right. While we're waiting for Dr. Marty to come back on, you guys.
I'm still here.
Right. We're on. And Dr. Marty, are you there?
I am. I'm here. I was here the whole time. And I heard you speak about the only three people that you believe turned the other cheek was Jesus, I think you said Gandhi, and I don't know if I heard, and Chris Rock. Well, I don't know if those are the only three people that we know have turned the other cheek on the scale of all of humanity. A lot of us turn the other cheek every single day, because that's the proper way of really showing up in life. If we can have some self-discipline and some self-restraint. There have been many different times that people have said something to me that offended me. I remember one time, and I'm gonna make this story short, but in comparison to what happened to Chris Rock, very similar happened to me. I was in a show, Monique, in a stage play that toured for 2.5 years, and over 20 years ago, it grossed $23 million. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the level of stage play this was. We had some heavy hitter names in that show. Well, there was a guy in there who's a known name today, and he's a comedian who really didn't like me very much. And he asked if he could switch roles with someone and come out just so he could play the role of the other person, so he would have a moment to, by way of this character, use that character as an excuse to say some very unkind things to me in that moment. And I didn't know that he was going to come out as the character. So here I am, you know, as a regular show, you know, show going on. And he comes out, and I knew then, oh, this is getting ready to be a mess. I stay in character. I stay as professional as I can. And I'm playing an old lady in a wheelchair who can't walk. So add that to, I'm very limited on even how I can show up and respond to what he's about to do. And he decided to use that moment to Joan me, if you will. For those who are tuning in, don't know what Joaning means in our culture. It was a moment for him to say all kinds of negative jokes towards me personally. And I'm trying to stay in character. The only thing I could think of doing, punch him or to move towards the green and remove myself from the stage. And that's what I decided to do. I just rolled my character off in the middle of that scene. And I and I instantly went up to the producers as well as the writer to share how disgusted I was on them allowing that.
From Ungun Institute. And we're wrapping up some things about the Will Smith incident. Of course, you know, hey, as a business owner, you know, we want to esteem. Not have violence be the answer. And so I think we've got her back here. Dr. Marty, can you hear me okay?
I can. I've been hearing you the whole time. I'm not sure when you play this back how this all is going to turn out. But but at the end.
Okay, good. Well, you know what? The show must go on. So you were in a situation where the someone show was coming for you.
But I tell us that. Yes, they've already heard that part. Let me just say this. We always have a choice. We always have a choice, Monique, on how we show up. Sure. No matter what else is going on in the world, I just want to share this one thing. Anything on the outside of you is the enemy territory. That means anybody at any given time can do something, say something, take something from you. That's enemy territory. You can't control what someone else can do. The only person you can control is yourself. So take all of the pressure off the enemy and put it on the enemy. Always go inside yourself to protect you.
Enemy.
What do you need to do? Take it off the enemy and put it on the enemy. And I promise you, if you do that and you stop breathing, think,
love
we don't
that.
Have to live in a world of violence. We have a choice.
Love that. The inner me, you guys. And you guys got to follow Dr. Marty here on Instagram at Ungun Institute, UNGUN Institute, helping people ungun trauma. She's the perfect guest to have on to start the show today as we kind of navigate through this time. Yes, you know, Dr. Marty, I love what you're saying. And I do believe that most of us want to be unviolent, but I do also deal in reality, and I do see the reality of our society, and we are violent.
We are.
You know, it does not go well to be prosperous because there, you know, it's something to stop, breathe, and think, as Dr. Marty says. And, you know, we're having so much trouble with the internet, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm in Sydney, Australia, shooting for Mandela. We're going in and out. Shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino. Thank you to all our sponsors. We have another guest in the waiting, in the wings. What else do you want to just leave everybody with on this note? Because I want to just point one last thing, Dr. Marty, before you answer that. And it's the Crown issue. You know, here in California, we have the Crown Act that was passed to protect people of color who have a different texture of hair. So there's a whole nother conversation and undertones of being, you know, because Black women, you know, we're often called nappy headed or bald. Our hair is different. And so sometimes that's overlooked. And being called, you know, ball-headed G.I. Jane in front of the world, there's another thing there. But, you know, black on black, you know, because we've already heard it from everyone else. So that was also something I think
that resonated. It was the same way. I mean, I would have probably responded with the same facial expression that Jada did. I get it. You know, I think when it gets down to it, again, it's about choices. I choose to wear my hair short. That's a choice. That's different when I don't have a choice because something could be going on medically with me. That's going to land totally different if someone called me, you know, called me bald headed. I would say, well, you know, I think it looks cute and I can grow my hair out if I want to, but that's different when that choice has been taken away. And that's why, you know, we really need to focus and practice on, you know, no judgment, just love. Can we just get to a place where we love each other the same way we need and we want to be loved and stop judging each other? But look at roasting. How many comedians have events where they're roasting their friends? The things that they say at those roasts, I'm like, you also have to get into the frame, the mind frame of those comedians. They are accustomed to hitting below the belt. That's what they do.
Sure.
So when you take, take all of that, we got a gumbo right now that is full of a whole lot of stuff, and somebody likes shrimp, somebody likes chicken, somebody likes sausage, but at the end of the day, it's a gumbo. If you want a bowl, grab a bowl. If not, just walk away from it. And that's what we're looking at right now with the whole Will Smith and Chris Rock thing. It's a gumbo. If you can't eat it, walk away from it. But if not, just let's try to treat each other better. Thank you for having
Yes, and I love that. You're welcome. And I think we want to also remember that no one here is perfect. And this man he's given 35 years of entertainment. He's issued an apology. We believe that he looks Academy, which also tells me that he realizes that he's done something wrong and he's owned it. And yeah. So now I feel like let's give the man a moment, you know, and if, like I said, if Chris Rock can not press charges and move on, then so can we. And we are not without ever making a mistake. And he's human. And we've got to give people lanes to error, I think. Yes, so
I agree. What I will say, he's thinking now. He's taking a moment out to think about it now, Monique. And that's why he's landing in a good place. But what he did really to me has nothing to do with his body of work. He deserves that Oscar. And I hope that they allow him to keep it.
I agree. I think he needs to stand on that because there has to be a balance of I'm owning my actions and the people around me are owning my team and the person who is pressing charges. And I think that it doesn't take away from his work and he should definitely keep his Oscar. I know that we're in our community, we're cheering for him. Hey guys, hate to make this a black and white thing, but we live in America. We are a racist country. And we are black and white. That's just who we are. And on a note on business, before you go, I'm human too. Even Will Smith, I know we look up to him because he's been so stellar. I think that's it. We look up to him because he's been so great. You know, we forget that he's got pain too, right? As a business owner, we want to be responsible. Take out that business insurance, you guys. You never know. I mean, yeah. And you want to get in front of it. I think that's what we're hearing. Dr. Marty say, stop, think, breathe, realize who you are or who you want to be.
Stop breathing. That's important. And think about what you need to do before you do it.
All right. Beautiful. Dr. Marty, thank you for coming on and chatting about this. If you guys are in Will Smith's camp, reach out to Dr. Marty. She's available to chat.
Absolutely. I would love to have that opportunity. Not just Will Smith and Chris Rock, also Kanye West. I'm putting that out there too. I need all of you all to give me a call. I'm here to help.
Yes. That might be a train you would definitely want to get in front of before it leaves the station. So that other train. All right. Dr. Marty, thank you so much and have a beautiful afternoon there.
Thank you.
It was good to see you at Oscars week. Yes.
Yes.
All right, you guys.
I'll see you again real soon. Thank you, Monique.
All
right, have a great day.
Thank you, love.
Bye.
You too. All right, you guys. That was Dr. Marty K. Casey coming on from Ungun. We're just wrapping that. Well, that's all I'm going to say on it. Nothing. Don't have skin view.
I'm in the sun right now, Lainey and Randy. I have my skin view on underneath. How you guys doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Monique. Thanks for having us again. Just having a great day. I'm sure you are as well down there in Aussie land, right?
Yeah, I'm in Sydney right now. The sun's shining and, you know, you came right out when SkinView was coming on. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves in case they didn't catch us on the last show and tell us exactly what SkinView is.
Ladies first, Lainey.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. So we're really excited to be here with you, Monique, to discuss SkinView, which has a few components, but ultimately we really want to empower people to learn about, take care of their skin illnesses. Obviously, knowledge is power, but we want you to do more than just know about it. We want you to take action. The earlier and sooner you can take care of your skin, hopefully from childhood with sunscreen, hats, staying out of, you know, direct midday sun, wearing hats, all that good stuff, really can prevent skin cancer, which is the fastest growing cancer in the world, but the most curable if found early.
Yeah.
So our goal is to, number one, obviously prevent skin cancer, but if you do get it, to find it as early as possible so you can cure it.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm Randy Wyant. I'm the CEO here at SkinView, and we are just rolling right along. Monique, I wanted to say thank you again for being at the gifting suite prior to the Oscars. We had an amazing time. We'll be doing many more.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I'm glad you trusted Lainey and I to get you there and try something new, and that warms my heart. So. Tell us more, because you've got some exciting stuff going.
We do. You know, we had this banner that's right behind me at, you know, our SkinView Tracker app is coming along nicely. We've had some great things happening. In fact, while I was working, having fun at the gifting suite in Universal City there, Lainey was actually in Florida at an event. Nancy Lopez, she's one of the all-time greats, first Hispanic champion in the LPGA, just a wonderful woman, and she's on our advisory board. Lainey was with her, along with, I don't know if I can, you know,
say get through it.
Names of other companies.
And follow me, by the way, on Instagram, at the Startup with Monique LeRae. And my personal Instagram is at Monique LeRae, Stinson, LreStinson. And, okay, here we go. Are we back, guys? Lainey, I see you. You're moving there.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm down under, guys. So the internet's a little interesting.
That's okay.
All right.
Anyway, just to kind of bring you up to date. Uh-oh, Monique just went away.
It's now the Lainey and Randy show. Take it, Randy.
Here we go, Lainey.
Monique will get back. If not, we'll tap dance.
I think I told you all about this Angela Brimhall, the gal.
Would you like to discuss the skin app that we're working on launching?
Yeah.
I think that would be really fun to discuss.
That would be the one thing, yeah. And I wanted to kind of talk about it. I don't know if I was, you know, how much you can say Spirit Airlines and stuff like that on the
Just said it, so let's hope that's okay.
Are we still on? Yeah, we can talk about the app. So just, you know, one of the things that we're most excited about at this, I think it's going to be a game changer. We've got a company, one of the leading companies in the skin cancer world, with a platform that does early detection of skin cancer using AI, but they're reaching out to a very wide audience, because 70% of the people here in the U.S. do know dermatologists are preventative. And of those that are seeing a dermatologist, they're not always getting the best practices. I talk to people, Lainey, you talk to people all the time, And, you know, we find out that, you know, it's good to be paying attention to your skin. It's good to be wearing sun protective clothing and product and everything, but it's not, it's not enough. As you said earlier, that skin cancer is one of the fastest growing cancers, yet it's the most curable. And our skin app is going to help not only to educate that very large number, and even some of the people that do know about skin cancer, it's going to educate them and help them know what it is, know what basal cell is, know what squamous cell is.
Well, and also how to track it, because one of the toughest things is knowing, you know, the change in a mole or a spot is a big part of whether or not something is cancerous or not to identify. So if you can track the change, it's much easier to say, oh yeah, this is something you really, we really need to look at. So, I mean, a huge part of catching it early is the curable part. So that's really important that we can utilize whatever tools we can to give large parts of this country who don't have access to a dermatologist, at least that early stage tool to catch it. It's not going to substitute a doctor, but it's just another tool in your arsenal to find potential skin cancer as early as possible. And hopefully it will save lives. Because obviously nobody should have to die from skin cancer. When it's found early, it's very, very treatable. Well, so obviously it's a great tool.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we're doing with this tool, you know, it's educating people, but it's also giving them that opportunity to image their own skin, to set up virtual consults with qualified dermatologists and specialists area in here, but, you know, expanding the reach of when people see something, when they're curious about something, they need to know what to look for. 30% of melanomas happen outside of a mole. It doesn't always look like a mole. You know, it can comes in different shapes and sizes. But the most significant thing about skin cancer is change. You know, people see a little spot. You know, maybe it gets a little scaly or looks a little weird, and they put some, you know, some type of skin cream and think it's going to heal. And if they can know what those principles are of what skin cancer looks like, and seeing the changes of, you know, like we teach the ABCDs, right? The, you know, the asymmetry, the borders, the colors, the diameter. And if people know those and really learn them so that they can see it, not only on themselves, but, you know, their loved ones, their children, their grandparents, their, you know, it's important. If people find it early, it's 99% curable, right? So, you know, that's a significant change that we're trying to do. But, you know, as you stated, accessibility is, it's not the fault of our medical system. It's just that there's not enough specialists in the area. You know, compared to other specialties, dermatologists are way, way low in the numbers. Dermatologists are very, very busy. There's 4 to 6 months waits to get in to see one. So, you know, this is making it more accessible.
We had someone in Ohio, we spoke with this woman. She had waited 6 months to see a dermatologist, and she had to drive 300 miles, and then they canceled on her.
Yeah.
It's wow. Fun.
So if you live in big city, you know, it's a lot easier.
Go ahead, Monique.
You know, thank you for shining some light on this. Yeah, because, you know, it's it is something that people overlook. And I remember you guys sharing out, or being, you know, it's rainy and the sun isn't necessarily directly shining, but there's high skin cancer numbers there as well. I know that app is going to save a lot of lives. And we're excited to have a launch. When are we having a launch party? That's what we need to talk about. We'd have an app launch party soon for you guys.
You know, that's the thing about building an app. The one thing that we want to do and do right and knock it out of the park is we want to have the app fully functional. So we're going through some beta testing. We got some, you know, some experts in the field doing some of this beta testing, and it always takes a lot longer than you would like. So, you know, what I'm telling people at this point, it will be mid to late third quarter. You know, we'll provide you more updates, and we have a PR firm now that's putting things together. I'm doing interviews all the time. There's been some articles that are going to be coming out soon, and we're in the bar able to present and offer people. But when we do that, we want it to be intuitive. We want it to be easy. We don't want people to get frustrated with it. But it is coming along very, very well.
Excited to see it.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, lady. I hope you're wearing your sunscreen, Monique. I see you got your sunglasses on.
Yes, I've been trying it on.
Huh?
I've been spraying it on. I think I ran out yesterday, but I've been spraying it on religiously. Neck and arms and face is where I have my coverage mostly.
We're going to have to get you some more of that spray on BU sunscreen.
I would love it. Okay. And you guys, please follow Randy and Lainey at Skin View on Instagram, spelled SKNVUE. And we're going to have you guys back. Thank you for dealing with my my internet here down under. And it was good to see you. And Lainey, I'm going to have you back on soon. I know you've got some updates on something that are brewing for you.
Sure. As always, and happy Sunday, although for you, it's like you're a lot earlier.
It's Monday morning already. Yes. All right, you guys. That's Lainey Strauss. That's Randy Wyatt from Skin View. Check them out on Instagram. I'll be seeing you guys next time. Thanks for being here. And thanks for dealing with my internet, guys. Follow us on Instagram at The Startup with Monique LeRae or at Monique LeRae Stinson. Next stop is going to be Bali and then Mumbai, India for the pandemic film. So if you guys are following that, you can follow us on at the pandemic film. If you've got a story, a COVID story, if you know anyone that's survived it, worked in the healthcare system, has a startup, is a startup owner, wants to be involved. We just got another nomination for our American version in Stockholm. So we're really proud of that. And so there was a film festival there. So we're in the running. Email us at AquariusMedia@gmail.com. And all right, guys, that's it. That's all I've got for you today. As always, what we start up today, be well, and we'll see you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.